Let us pray. Loving God, open our hearts in this moment to your Spirit. Open our minds to your Word, and open our entire selves to the walk towards which you are calling us. Amen. During my first year working here at First Pres, 5 years ago, I shared a story that year about hiking the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu in Peru with my wife, Kimberly. We had both wanted to see Machu Picchu, those great Inca ruins, and we had heard that there was a four-day hike that you could take through the Andes Mountains to reach the ruins. We thought, hey, this would be great. And you know what? We were doing this for our honeymoon, so foolishly we thought, that'd be awesome. We could spend our, be sweaty and hot as we're hiking as newlyweds. We didn't know what we were getting into. So anyway, after our wedding, we flew down to Peru and eventually found ourselves stepping onto the Inca Trail. We had our backpacks and boots on, and we were ready to make the four-day trek. The first day actually wasn't too bad. There were ups and downs. There were nice flat stretches. Those were great. And there were beautiful mountains and scenery and bushes and trees all around us. We were having a great time. It was sort of idealistic newlywed hiking the trail in Peru. We felt great. However, the second day came, and that's when things started to get a little tough. The trail went up and up and up. There were no flat stretches, no rolling hills. It was just one steady climb up the mountain to the almost 14,000-foot pass. The pass is actually appropriately named Dead Woman's Pass. Fortunately, actually, Kimberly did great. She was in pretty good shape at that time, and she did well. I think, actually, after seeing me go up that trail, they might have renamed it Dead Man's Pass as they saw me huffing and puffing along the hike. I did not do so well. Eventually, however, after this grueling hike up on that second day, we finally made it to that pass. We were faced with this incredible view across the Andes Mountains. Just mountains, as far as the eye could see. It was a clear day. It was absolutely gorgeous. And so we found some rocks up at the top and took a seat, took off our packs, had some water, and just took in the beauty of the moment, the beauty of the scenery from atop that mountain. We had made it. Today, we also come to one of those big mountaintop moments as we prepare to confirm this eighth grade confirmation class. They've spent these past 8 months in what sometimes might have felt like a grueling hike up a mountain. There were early Sunday mornings. How many of you liked getting up early? There are no hands raised in this group. So we got up. They had to get up early for class. There were homework assignments. There were daily spiritual practices, field trips, a service project. They gave up 2 weekends for weekend retreats together. And just last week, as I shared, they each wrote their individual statements of faith that they put time and effort into writing what it is that they believe. Our confirmants have been wrestling with questions as well, wrestling with what it means to be a Christian, what it means to believe and have faith. They've asked these big questions. Who is God? Why do bad things happen? What about other religions? They've debated. They've spent time in personal reflection. They've prayed and they've wondered. To all of the confirmants here this morning, I've been so impressed with the effort and thoughtfulness that you've put in to this confirmation year. It must be nice to finally reach this day, huh? Today you are standing on that mountaintop. You're looking out at that view, looking back at where you've been this year and all you've put into it, and you've made it. You're here on Confirmation Sunday. Congratulations. It's appropriate that in this morning's scripture passage, the disciples also stood on a mountain. It was after Jesus' death, and they had received instructions from him to go to this mountain in Galilee. They weren't sure what would await them there, but they went anyway. And they too had had a difficult journey up to this point. They had been called from their ordinary lives to follow this man named Jesus. They had traveled with him through the countryside. I imagine they too were often tired, hungry, and sore. But they kept following this man, learning from him, listening to him. They followed him as he returned to Jerusalem, where he was accused of crimes, and eventually he was sentenced to death. They watched as he was executed on a cross, and they heard stories days later of the mysterious empty tomb. So here in this passage, after their long journey, they finally arrived at this place that Jesus had instructed them to go. They were there. They had made it. Surely this was the end. It was there on that mountain pass that something incredible happened. Jesus appeared to them. Now, in the other Gospels, we have other stories of Jesus appearing to the disciples, other people that he appeared to. But in the book of Matthew, this is the only story we have of his appearance. And it's also the last story in the book of Matthew. So we know this was an incredibly important moment, an incredibly important story to share. Yet when Jesus appears to the disciples, they don't all respond with cheers or excitement or an awesome party for Jesus. Instead, we're told that some of the disciples worshipped him, but some of the disciples doubted. Even in this group of Jesus' closest disciples and friends, these 11 people who had followed him and followed on this tough path, even some of these people doubted that this was even real. Later in our service, our confirmands will answer some questions about their faith and what they believe. And they'll then be confirmed as members of the church. It is a big moment, a mountaintop moment in the life of faith. But this passage is a great reminder that being confirmed doesn't mean that you suddenly get all of the answers. There's no answer sheet that you received this morning that will give you perfect explanations to all of your questions. There's no comprehensive book of knowledge that we give away in some secret backroom ceremony. There's no aha moment where angels come down and the voice of God shares with you the meaning of life. These moments will not happen this morning. The journey of faith is one very much like the disciples experienced. On one hand, we have these moments of deep worship, of singing hymns together, sitting around the campfire on the retreat, taking communion, sharing in a deep conversation, or having a moment of real and honest prayer with God. On the other hand, we also have moments of doubt. Times when we wonder, is this really real? Jesus, are you really there? If you remember nothing else from this confirmation year, remember this. You do not walk this journey alone. You do not walk this journey alone. If all of the confirmands, for a minute, if you could turn around just in your seats and look back on the congregation, I'm going to ask everybody to do a little bit of participation here this morning. Confirmands, you don't have to. You can just watch them and see how they do here. Take a look at these people, first of all. These are people who have nurtured you. They've cared for you. They've helped you along your journey to today. There's family members and friends and congregation members, people who've been walking along your side. I want to let you in on a little secret, though. They've also been walking this journey of faith. And just like you, they've had moments of connection with God, but they've also had moments of doubt. I'd like to ask everyone here, this is the participation moment, how many of you have ever felt a sense of connection with God, that you felt you've been worshiping or, you know, have a relationship with God in your life? Raise your hand if you've ever felt that. Awesome. Now I want to ask you the harder question, though. I ask you to be honest here. How many of you ever had questions or doubts in your faith? Confirmands, you can turn back around now. It's easy to see here, among all of us, that we aren't that much different from the first disciples. We all experience these deep moments of connection and relationship with God. But we also have these moments of doubt, questions, of uncertainty, just like those first disciples. And both of them are normal. This is part of the journey of faith. Yet, we have this community here, this group of people, to support one another in this walk, whatever we might be going through, whether we're at the top of that mountain peak or whether we're struggling up that climb. And so it's in the midst of this worship and doubt of the disciples that Jesus finally responds to them. He doesn't try to explain how the resurrection works. He doesn't explain how he's somehow appearing to them or how he's there. Is he in body and spirit? We don't know. He doesn't give a proof of God's existence, or he doesn't give any of the answers to those questions the disciples might be wondering. Instead, this is what he tells them. Go. He tells them to leave the mountain, to be disciples out in the world, to baptize, to teach, to share all that he had taught them. He passes on his authority to them, and he tells them that it is now their turn to share God's good news of grace, of forgiveness, and love. Jesus will no longer physically be with them, but they are now called to be Jesus' hands and feet in the world. Their journey has not ended. They've not reached the top of this mountain. It's only just begun. Jesus called them, and Jesus calls each of us to go out into the world as disciples, to share God's love with those who feel unloved, to share God's forgiveness with those who feel unforgivable, to share the light of Christ with those who feel overcome by the darkness in the world. Jesus calls all of us to go. On my own journey on the Inca Trail, I was also reminded of this never-ending journey. That tall mountain pass that I had reached, that wasn't the end of the hike. It actually wasn't even the only pass. Ahead of that, before we reached Machu Picchu, there were two more mountain passes that we had to hike up and struggle through to get and overcome. That mountaintop view that we were taking in was merely one stop along the way. And our hike would have many more moments with peaks and valleys, and tough climbs and scenic views. Our journey had not ended, it had only just begun. So to the confirmands, here at the end of this confirmation year, Jesus reminds you and reminds all of us that our faith journey doesn't end with confirmation. It doesn't end with Easter. It doesn't end with marriage or sending kids off to college or retirement. Today we'll have this wonderful celebration of these confirmands and recognition of their journey up to this point. We'll look out from this mountaintop, and we'll give thanks for this special moment in each and every one of these confirmands. But tomorrow begins the journey ahead. It's a journey that will last your entire lifetime as you seek to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls each and every one of us to walk ahead on that path of faith together. It doesn't matter if we're overflowing with praise to God or whether we're struggling with lots of doubts and questions, maybe even having a hard time feeling that God is there. Jesus calls us to walk the journey. It doesn't matter where we've come from or who we are. Jesus calls us to walk the journey. It doesn't matter how much money we have or what our grades are, who we love or what the color of our skin is. Jesus calls us to walk the journey. So today, may we all take that step forward in the journey of faith, knowing that we walk this path together with Christ present by our side. Amen.